And I'm Ash. Welcome to Crime Potatoes Podcast.
Grab your snacks, get comfy,
and let's get to it. Welcome back to another episode.
Another week, another episode.
Ooh, and I'm freezing today.
It has been so freaking cold.
It has been so cold. And I feel like if we had snow or like something on the ground, it wouldn't seem so bad. But it has just been like the miserable dry wind from the north and that is just
bitter.
So cold. Yes, so bitter. It's the worst. I'm over it.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you. We need some snow.
Yeah, I don't even like the snow, but like, yeah, please give us some snow. So there's a reason for it to
Same.
Be cold.
Same.
What are you snacking on today?
Well, since it's my turn, I decided not to grab a snack. I almost did, but I didn't. So I just have my coffee to keep me warm.
Gross.
Also,
just kidding.
I just woke up. Granted, I took a little nap. Huh. Well, you know me, Ash. I never sleep, like ever. And then on top of it, I have a toddler that ends up in our bed at around 3 in the morning. So I usually struggle to go back to sleep and then have to get up and get his brothers ready to go to school. So
I love that for you.
I took a nap and now I'm having my coffee.
I'm taking a nap after we record this. So
perfect. What about you? What are you snacking on?
I just have my water today. I've been having really bad migraines, and so I've been trying to cut back on soda again to hopefully help with that. So wish me luck, because it's the worst, and all I want is a freaking Pepsi right now. But we're surviving with water. And then for my treat or snack, I have the Sour Bright Crawlers, the trolley.
Ooh. Are they just the regular or the very berry?
Just the regular.
See, I like the very berry.
The very berry ones are really good. I have to agree with you. But we just had these at the house, so that's what fair. I have.
Totally fair. All right, I guess we'll get into it then.
Yeah, it's your turn this week.
So this case is brought to you by my friend Jess. She is awesome and sends me cases that I have a list for, but some of them are so in depth that I'm like, I want to do them justice. So I've been putting them aside, but this one has also been on my list and she just recently sent it to me and reminded me of it. Yeah, so she messaged me and reminded me about it. And I was looking at it and decided I know this one enough that I could do it. Especially because I definitely procrastinated researching anyways. So, anyways, that's all. So, thank you, Jess. My case sources are Wikipedia, Facebook, Legacy.com, AllThat'sInteresting.com, MDCourts.gov, DignityMemorial.com, and InvestigationDiscovery.com. So I am going to put just a little bit of a trigger warning because this is dark. But I will also give another trigger warning when we go into details about the crime itself. Imagine a brand so iconic that its leggings and athletic wear are found in closets around the world. Lululemon Athletica was founded in Vancouver, Canada in 1998 and quickly became a symbol of fitness, style, and luxury. By 2010, its popularity was soaring. But in March 2011, the company found itself making headlines for an entirely different reason. Murder.
I know this case.
This is a pretty well-known case, I think. But it's one
it's
that...
It's a very interesting one. So.
Yeah. Yes. When a Lululemon manager for the Bethesda, Maryland location arrived at work on the morning of March 12th, 2011, she found the door unlocked. Opening the door, she immediately saw merchandise thrown across the floor and mannequins in disorder. And then she heard noises. Moaning and slight movement was coming from the back of the store. Scared to go any further, the manager went outside and asked a man in the parking lot to help her search the store. The scene he found inside was probably very unexpected, disturbing, and now seared into his memory. Bloody footprints were tracked throughout the store, and in the back hallway, he found a young woman with a ligature around her neck and lying face down in a pool of blood, dead. Hearing the moaning, he pushed forward and in the bathroom found another young woman, this one alive, though she seemed to be barely conscious. She had blood on her face, and her wrists and ankles were bound with zip ties. Brittany Norwood had seemed to survive a brutal attack, while her co-worker, Jana Murray, did not. Brittany Norwood told police that she and Jana closed the store the night before as usual. Soon after locking up, Brittany had realized she left her wallet inside and called Jana to let her back in so she could get it. Records do show that the door was unlocked and alarm turned off at 10:05, confirming what Brittany was saying. Then, according to Brittany, two men wearing ski masks and dark clothing barged their way into the store behind them, where they were attacked and sexually assaulted. It appeared that Brittany Norwood was a survivor. However, as the investigation got on its way, the physical and eyewitness evidence found weren't adding up in support of Brittany's story, starting with the attack in itself. Now, right here, I am going to put that trigger warning again because it's brutal. According to the medical examiner's report, Jana Murray sustained 331 injuries to her body. These injuries were caused by at least five different weapons, including a knife, a hammer, a merchandise peg, a box cutter, and rope. Jana's head and face were so badly bruised and cut up that she was barely recognizable. The blow that ultimately killed her was a stab wound on the back of her neck that severed her spinal cord and went all the way to her brain.
Brutal.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Brutal. The question that investigators had was, how was it that Jana was attacked so brutally, yet Brittany only had very minor wounds, the biggest for her being a cut on her forehead? When confronted with that, Brittany Norwood said that the men wanted to keep her alive because they enjoyed having sex with her more. But here's the catch. There was no evidence to suggest a sexual assault ever occurred on Jana Murray, according to the thorough examination done by the medical examiner. But there's more. The bloody footprints found throughout the store, well, they did come from a men's size 14 shoe, but that shoe was later found inside the store. And Brittany's own shoes. So the bloody footprints were a size 14 men's shoes, and then Brittany's own shoes. It was also noted that the footprints ended before the two exits in the store, so never leaving the store. Also, during the investigation, investigators found that an employee and a manager at the Apple store next door, so they shared a wall with Lululemon, had heard what they just brushed off as some kind of drama or small minor altercation and didn't want to get involved, so they just walked away. But they both later testified that they heard two women arguing, one saying...
The accent comes
out. I know. Oh, my God.
Arguing.
Gosh.
Arguing.
Small town. They both later testified that they heard two women arguing, one saying, quote, "Don't do this. Talk to me. What's going on?" End quote. Followed by a scream and a thud, then a weak voice saying, quote, "God help me. Please help me." End quote. Police later discovered blood in Murray's car, which was identified at trial as a mixture of Jaina and Brittany's blood, which had been found 3 blocks away at a farmer's market. When asked about the car, Brittany first claimed that she'd never been inside Jaina's car, but when confronted with the blood, she changed her story. Brittany confessed to moving it. She explained that the men inside the store had ordered her to do so, threatening to kill her if she didn't return within 10 minutes. So, she was only doing what they said.
That is kind of a random request. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All of it is just...
A little suspicious.
Just all playing. Of it's suspicious.
Yeah.
Brittany Norwood was looking more and more like a suspect instead of a victim. But the question was, what was the motive? Well, it turns out that Brittany Norwood had a habit of stealing and lying. Turns out, managers at the Lululemon location had suspected that Brittany had been shoplifting. However, they couldn't proceed with... They couldn't proceed with reprimand or even fire her without proof. But the night that Jaina was killed, before letting Brittany back into the store, Jaina had called a manager to let them know that while checking each other's bags before closing, she, Jaina, had found a pair of stolen leggings in Brittany's bag, and they had the proof to fire Brittany. 1 week after discovering the brutal attack on Jaina Murray, Brittany Norwood was arrested and charged with first-degree murder. A year later, in January 2012, Brittany Norwood went to trial. Statements by police officials and testimony during the trial indicated that on the evening of the murder, Jaina and Brittany checked each other's bags for unpaid merchandise, a routine security procedure at Lululemon and other retail stores. And I will say, I did work at a retail store. And yes, if we did the closing shift, we had to hand over our bags. Even our manager would give us her bag and we would have to check it just to be sure that there was no, merchandise.
Yeah, I worked at a retail store also, and I remember we had to do the exact same thing. It's a pretty common thing among those types of places.
Yeah. Jaina found a pair of pants in Brittany's bag and called their manager after she left the store. The manager said she would deal with it in the morning. A few minutes later, Brittany called Jaina to say she'd forgotten something and asked Jaina to return to the store and let her in. When Jaina did return and let her in, Brittany attacked her, moved her car, then staged the scene to look like a robbery and sexual assault. She even cut a hole in the bottom of Jaina's pants to try to make it look.
It's insane.
Brittany then put on a pair of men's shoes to track blood across the floor in an attempt to cover her own tracks. Then trashed the store to fit her story, and finally cut herself in tying her own wrists and ankles with zip ties. On January 27th, 2012, Brittany Norwood was sentenced to life in prison for the first degree murder of Jaina Troxell Murray. 30-year-old Jaina Murray was a graduate student at Johns Hopkins University, where she was pursuing her master's in business administration. She grew up active and happy. She loved animals, dancing, and traveling the world. Jaina had accepted a job at Lululemon Athletica so she could meet other active people and also be able to attend seminars that would have helped her in earning her master's degree. Her family has set up a nonprofit in her name, the Jaina Troxell Murray Foundation. And I'm just going to share what it says on their Facebook page. Quote, "The Jaina Troxell Murray Foundation supports and promotes the interests and passions that enriched Jaina Murray's life by making them available to others in hopes of similarly enriching their lives. The Jaina Troxell Murray Foundation will have a scholarship program that is designed to help qualified individuals in having access to the same programs in which Jaina participated and which played an important role in making her the special person that she was. The programs in which Jaina participated and which will receive funds for the benefit of qualified individuals from the Jaina Troxell Murray Foundation will include, but not limited to, St. Louis University, Madrid Study Abroad Program, Semester at Sea, George Washington University, Johns Hopkins University, and Camp Kanakuk," end quote. The foundation is still active today, and so I will make sure that we put a link in our show notes, so definitely check them out. But yeah, that is the famous Lululemon murder case. Jaina Troxell Murray.
It's just insane to me. Every time I hear it, I'm like, literally, this whole murder was because of a pair of leggings, really, or pants, or whatever it was. But it's insane. It's pretty sad and ridiculous.
yeah.
It is
a pointless murder. No. Like, there is no reason for it.
I mean, period. Not only for the girl, like, for herself, aside from like the murder, for herself, she would have been better off just, you know, she would have probably got fired, could have moved on, found a new job, whatever. But now she's spending her life in prison. You know what I mean? Like, not only did she end this girl's life, but she ended her own life, really. It's just, I don't hate it.
Yes. No, the thing that gets me is that, the brutality of the murder itself.
Oh, yeah.
Investigators think that she originally attacked her and she went down, left, took the car away, came back, and then continued attacking her. Five, at least. That was only five confirmed weapons that were used. They suspect there was possibly more.
Yeah, it's insane, like, the extent of what happened. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah. 331 injuries.
That's
for a pair of stolen pants.
Not worth it. Never.
No.
Oh, this case is devastating.
It is. It really
is. Thank you for sharing it. You did a great job.
Thank you.
All right. Well, there you guys have it. If you haven't heard it before, you have now. And we will be back next week for a brand new episode. Stay safe, potatoes.
Bye.